Several times during my years of pastoring churches, I've gotten phone calls from people who have been approached about serving as a deacon in the congregation I was serving. Usually the folks who were calling me or catching me in the hallway had been approached about being nominated. They were surprised that anybody wanted to nominate them as a deacon. And they wanted to talk to me about it because they truly didn't feel like they were worthy or appropriate or the right choice to serve as a deacon of the congregation. They would share with me they felt inadequate, unsure, they were praying about it, but just weren't sure they could live up to the calling. And they wanted to know, what did I think? As we would talk, I would encourage them, and it's interesting that in each of the cases, the people who called me feeling unsure, inadequate, not able to live up to the calling, were the very kind of folks with a servant's heart that I thought would be ideal deacons. And usually what I would end up saying to them is, if you feel inadequate to be a deacon, if you don't feel like you're good enough, you're probably right where God wants you, and you'd make a great deacon. Because there's something about that humility of recognizing our unworthiness that puts us right where God wants us to be instruments of His work. We all, at times, as Christians, feel overwhelmed. We all, at times, trying to do God's work, feel inadequate. We look around, we see the needs of our world, we see the struggles in our country, we see brokenness, hatred, division, and we look at our church and churches like ours and wonder, how can we make any difference? How can we have an impact as a small group of believers, as an individual Christian? In a world where the needs are so great, where the problems overwhelm us, where we don't know that we have anything significant to offer. When I have those times, and they come often, where I wonder what I'm doing in a job like this, how God could use somebody like me, I find some strength and hope in this passage in Acts 3. It's not one we look at all that often, though I've preached on it once before here. And yet we see a glimpse of ministry that strikes me as significant and the way we can be used by God. In Acts 3, not long after Pentecost, after the power of the Spirit has been poured out on the believers and brought the birth of the church, Peter and John were approaching the temple to pray. They see a beggar who's been crippled from birth, who's been brought there by family to beg for money. This was common. It was a way these folks could try to get some income while the people on the way to the temple were in the mood for almsgiving. He calls out to Peter and John. And we're told that Peter looks straight at him. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how often you get approached on the street, how often you get pulled aside in a parking lot by somebody who wants something from you. And the temptation of us is to look away and try to avoid their eye in hopes they won't catch us. Peter looks straight at him, looks him in the eye, and inevitably, in that moment, the man thinks, this is going to be good. I'm going to get something. Peter gives him the dignity of looking him in the face. But he doesn't give the man what the man's expecting. Peter says, look at us. And the man looks. He's eager. He thinks some money's coming his way. And Peter says, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. Essentially, what Peter's saying here is, hey, buddy, I don't have money in my pocket, but I've got something you need even more. I've got something I can give you. He recognizes that coming out of Pentecost, he has the power of God's Spirit in him. And so he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And Peter reaches out his hand. The man gets up healed, and he walks and leaps and praises God. How many of you got that children's song going through your head right now? Leaping and walking and praising God. My gift to you is I'm not singing it for you today. Now, I confess, been a Christian much of my life. I've been in pastoral ministry for a good number of years. I've never seen a scene unfold like we see described here. I've not seen, maybe except for some of the TV preachers that I'm not so sure about, folks who are crippled, given the gift of being able to walk again. But even apart from that, I see here a powerful reminder of the way God works in ministry. We see Peter and John talking to a man who's begging. They don't have what the man thinks he needs most, but they have the power of God. They have God's Spirit in them. And though they don't offer him money, they become instruments of God's healing power. In this case, in a very physical way. But I suspect also in a spiritual way as well. And as the conversation unfolds and people come trying to make sense of what they've just seen, as Peter begins to talk to the crowds, he says, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" In verse 12, and then verse 16, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see." Peter understood that in the power of God, he could minister to the needs of this man. As Christians, we can't meet every need that we encounter. As a church, we're not big enough to solve all the problems of our community. But sometimes, in response, we make excuses and don't do much of anything because we're focused on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Here was Peter and John. "I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, what we have, we can give as instruments of the kingdom of God. What we have is the power of God, the Spirit of God living in us that came first at Pentecost, that allows us to be instruments of the hands and feet of Christ. We can't fix every problem that we see. But as God's people, God empowers us to offer what we have through His Spirit to make a difference, to minister to needs, to help people who are hurting, to offer grace to those who are broken. And for me, this is a powerful picture of ministry. Because often, I focus on what I don't have, what I'm not good at, what I don't think I can do. Instead of being reminded that we are God's children, called and empowered to do His work in the world. We may not have gifts of healing like we see here in Peter and John, but God's Spirit working through us can do more than we could ask or imagine, as we're told in Ephesians. Those of you who are being ordained today as deacons may have a mixture of emotions in you. You may be excited, you may feel honored, you may feel humbled, you may feel a little nervous. But the good news of the gospel is when God calls us into his work, he does so knowing he doesn't ask us to do any more than we with our gifts and he with his Spirit working through us can accomplish. He doesn't call us to do what we can't do. He calls us to do what he has given us gifts to do and what his Spirit makes possible. And so we've got to work on letting go of the excuses, on let go of focusing on the problems, and ask God to help us see what he can do in us and through us that may be even greater than what we conceive. We live in a world of negativity, and it filters into church. We can focus on the problems. We can focus on others and what they're not doing the way we think they should do. We can make excuses for all the things we can't do. Or we can recognize, what I do have, I give you. A couple of centuries ago, Robert Fulton was testing the steamboat. As he was cranking it up and getting ready to put it out to sea, put it out on the Hudson River, a man watched and hollered out to him as he was getting ready, saying, "It'll never start. It'll never start. Don't waste your time. It's not going to start." The boat started, and it began to head out to sea. And the man then yelled, "It'll never stop. It's not going to stop. You're going to have a problem." You know folks like that? Do you fall into that trap yourself sometimes? In church, as Christians, it's easy to focus on the problems, on what we don't have that others have. As individuals, it's easy to think, if I had that person's gifts, or if I had that ability, or if I had those resources, then I could do something. Instead of looking at Peter and John and saying, "I may not have this, but what I do have, I give you. The power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." For you who are deacons, I hope you're taking this calling humbly and prayerfully, but believing that as he's called you to this, God can empower you to minister in ways that change lives. And for all of us as Christians, we're invited to focus not on our weaknesses, not on what we can't do, but to recognize that the scriptures say we all are given gifts, we are all given talents to be used by God. One of the things that I hear over and over again in church is, "Well, I don't have any talents, I don't have any gifts." But the scripture says God has given us gifts and talents. He's created us in his image as the individuals that we are. And as he's created us and as he calls us, he gives us his Spirit to do his work. When we found the disciples at the end of the Gospels, after the crucifixion even, you wouldn't have thought this ragtag group who bailed on Jesus when the going got tough would have ever amounted to anything. Peter denied Christ 3 times. The others ran away. This was not a group that anybody thought could be instruments in the changing of the world. But after Pentecost, the disciples, the apostles, became the presence of God in the world. And years later, we, the church, are given the gift of God's Spirit to do his work. We may not have all that we think we need, but we're created by God, gifted by him, and given the Spirit to be instruments in his hands. He doesn't ask you to be other than who you are. He simply asks that we be willing to say, yes, Lord, use me. I offer you who I am and what I am and what I have. Fill me with your Spirit. And when we say yes, we can go out into this world saying, I may not have silver and gold. I may not have everything that solves every problem. But what I do have, what we have, is the power of Christ living in us, wanting to work through us as we're willing. Will you pray with me? God, forgive us for making excuses, focusing on problems, failing to see your possibilities. As individuals and as a church, empower us, fill us with your Spirit, and give us hearts willing to follow. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We come now to a time of installation and ordination of new deacons. As John Myers comes forward, he will be our chair of deacons for the coming year. I'm going to ask those who are being installed and ordained as for new terms of deacons to come and line up here at the front. This is an important time of acknowledging and blessing those who are called to serve us as a congregation. In this group are those who have been elected to serve. You have in your bulletin a litany, and John will come lead us in this litany. It includes a commitment from these who will be serving us as deacons and from us as a congregation. So I invite you to follow and participate.